Hey, hey, you're listening to Let's Eat In. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. This is Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza. Heritage Radio Network today is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. It reminds you that every bite has a story. Whether it's a tomato, a muffin, or a T-bone steak, your conscious food choices can change the planet. Because at Whole Foods Market, every single purchase you make helps us support things like animal welfare, or organic agriculture, equitable trade, and energy offsets. Let's think before we eat. Let's retake our plates. Whole Foods Market. So it's getting a little chilly now. We're definitely in the throes of fall, and we might think about cooking up something a little spicy, a little warm, a little comforting, a little stewy, soupy. And that might include curry, too. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I have a guest who is quite an expert on that. S.H. Fernando, can I read your little bio?
Yeah, please.
All right. Is a journalist who has written for the New York Times, Rolling Stone, Vibe, and Spin. He's the author of New Beats, Exploring the Music, Culture, and Attitudes of Hip-Hop. He has also produced several albums on his World Sound label. And is the writer-director of several feature films. When he's not exploring the world and sampling new cultures and cuisines, he does his laundry in Baltimore, Maryland. But thankfully, he's here today in Brooklyn. Thanks so much, Skiz.
No doubt, Kathy. This is my, you know, I used to live in Brooklyn for about 11 years. So mm-hmm. This is like home to me anyway. So
glad you can make it. Awesome. This is actually, I was reading the bio from his book, which is not about music. It is called Rice and Curry, Sri Lankan Home Cooking. That is very exciting to me because you really just need somebody who is a home cook in a certain cuisine to be that, you know, authentic guide. And you just can't really, you could do it by cookbooks. You can explore different restaurants. But there's something, you know, there's great to know the fact that, you know, I can read about, you know, Skiz's blog post too on his blog and just have a little taste for his sensibilities and food. And then read his books. That blog is also called Pan Asia.
No, the blog is actually called Rice and Curry.
Rice and Curry.
The book.
Yes.
I do have a cooking show on YouTube called mm-hmm. Pan Asian. And that's more about exploring different Asian cultures and cuisines. Because I don't just like Sri Lankan food. I like all type of Asian food. Really anything spicy. Anything with some heat. You know, I love Mexican
the connecting
food.
Thread.
Caribbean food.
I like it too. Cool.
Anything with heat, especially as you said, the weather's getting cold mm-hmm. and you know, having some little spice in your system always helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how does that help exactly? Do you think that it really just warms your
well definitely you know, like, you know, people in warm climates in the tropics tend to eat a lot of chilies and spicy food because it makes them sweat and the sweat cools them down. So it's kind of funny, you know, but also, there's a lot of science behind the spices, you know, like the whole Ayurvedic system of medicine, which is the ancient Indian, you know, system, which we follow a lot in Sri Lanka. All the spices, cardamom, clove, cinnamon, nutmeg, they all have medicinal applications too.
Sure.
So it's like, you know, from acting as a preservative for food to, you know, helping with certain ailments. There's a lot of good uses of spices.
Right.
And I go through some of that in my book, but really, you know, if I did another book, I would do it just on spices and all the applications of spices.
I think you should. So what's your favorite spice that you think is, I don't know, helpful for I don't know, something in
particular? Well, I'm the type of person who, even if it's a tuna fish sandwich, I lace it with chili and cayenne pepper and stuff like that.
I like fresh jalapenos chopped in there too.
Yeah, exactly. But okay, let's take cayenne pepper for example. It's great for your circulation. You know, it's great for circulation. It's great for digestion, and cholesterol. It supposedly lowers your cholesterol.
Wow. You know, even dried ground, you know,
yep,
pepper,
yep,
cayenne.
You know, people use it as a hangover cure. I've heard of people putting like lemon, honey, and cayenne.
Oh, so maybe that's what I should drink today. I had like two Oktoberfests yesterday.
Wow.
Anyway, Cayenne pepper is one of those, I think it's in all, like, it's in every single spice cabinet, it seems, and it's in lots of different cultures.
Yep. And they say it's an aphrodisiac, too. You know, so.
Well, hey, that's what we need to talk about here. Do you think that all spicy food can be sort of aphrodisiac, too?
I think so. I think more important is the cooking. You know, it's like the preparation of it and the combination of spices. You
right.
know, it's like, and obviously, you know, if you, I'm the type of guy. If I go on a date, I don't like to go out to a restaurant. I'd much rather cook mm-hmm. for my date. You know,
because
it's like it's a much more special thing. It's at home.
Right on.
You know, and you can show off your skills in the kitchen, and that, you know, that, that
usually adds a lot meal. Of
exactly, yeah. exactly. So,
what would you make for
usually? I start off with the chicken curry. That's like
Sri
the
Lankan
basic
chicken
Sri Lankan
curry.
Chicken curry.
I love it.
And let me just tell you, a lot of people confuse Sri Lankan food and Indian food because mm-hmm. obviously Sri Lanka is, you know, right off the tip of India. It's an island right off the tip of India. There's a lot of similarities in the culture and the food, but in Sri Lankan food, we use coconut milk instead of ghee and yogurt which Indians use. We use a lot of curry leaves, the fresh curry leaves. There's a picture of that on the cover of my book there.
I'm into the coconut, yeah.
And we use a ton of chilies. It's like, mm-hmm. it's seriously one of the
spiciest,
furious cuisines I've had. I would put it up there with Mexican food as like some of the hottest food.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That's Southeast Asian stuff. I love it. So curry leaves, I'm looking at photos of it right here in this book. What is a curry leaf?
Well, it actually grows on a tree, and these trees are found all over Sri Lanka, so it's not surprising that Sri Lankans use fresh curry leaves mm-hmm. in practically every dish. And that is really the unique flavor of Sri Lankan food.
It tastes a little like tea, no? A little, no? Like,
you know what? It's one of those herbs that doesn't taste like anything else. It's
okay.
like it's got its own cool. unique. I can't really compare it to anything. Some
right.
people, I've seen some Sri Lankan cookbooks where they say you could substitute bay leaves, but
mm-hmm.
there's no comparison.
Right, but you kind of use it like a bay leaf. So you drop it into soups whole.
Right, you use it whole, and you usually use a whole sprig in a mm-hmm. dish, not just one or two. You use like a whole sprig.
Makes sense.
And it's readily available in the U.S.
You can, I was about to say.
At any Indian store, because Indians use it a lot, not as much, but that's where I usually get my fresh curry leaves from. On 6th Street in Manhattan, you know, all the there's Indian groceries around
there. Oh, right, right, yep. East Village.
Yeah, First Avenue mm-hmm. and between 5th and 6th.
That's where you get the fresh curry. Is it grown in the States? Basically?
Yeah, it's actually grown in Florida and Hawaii.
Okay.
And
so
I was
warm climates.
I was having a problem a few months ago because there was some kind of blight on the curry leaves.
Uh-oh.
And I need that to make my my
mix.
Yeah, I make a Skizz's original Sri Lankan roasted and raw curry powder, and for the roasted powder you need the fresh leaves.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So thank God the supply is back.
Uh-huh.
In effect, because you can't really do the curry powder with
you
that.
You can't grow it in New York or Baltimore, I guess.
Well, you could. You probably have to grow it inside and mm-hmm. take a lot of care. It's one of these very finicky plants.
Oh, really? You know?
So I've tried to grow it a few times and it's always died on me. So.
Okay. Yeah. Leave it to the horticulturist, I guess.
Right, right. But there. You know, I grow stuff. I have a garden in my back in Baltimore, and I grow chilies, I grow tomatoes, I grow
no way.
Cucumbers in the summer. So
that's
it's not
amazing.
Like it's not like I have a black thumb or something. Like
so I wouldn't have assumed that, but that's a really, really cool. You seem like a Renaissance curry man.
I've always, you know, I grew up on this food. I'm Sri Lankan.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in this country, but you know, my mother always made rice. We call it rice and curry. That's what Sri Lankans call a typical curry meal, which is rice is obviously the centerpiece, and then you'll have several different curries. You'll have maybe a couple meat curries and like several different vegetable curries,
okay.
then salad, chutneys, pickles, and it's all served. There's no courses. It's all served together, and you just take a bit of this and a bit of that. And usually we eat it with our hands, and we mix it all together with our hands, and that's how you know, traditional rice and curry is eaten.
Can I do that on a date meal? Just eat it with your hands, okay?
It's kind of fun. But the only thing you got to worry about is the curry finger.
Oh, my God. I don't want to know.
You know, because you get that curry stain on your fingers, and that smell will stay with you for a while.
Is it
going to
sting, too? If it's too spicy, it'll actually, if you don't rub your eyes. Yeah, like,
be careful about that.
Oh, my God. So what
especially when I'm cooking.
So are you just made out of like super resistant to heat after cooking and eating this?
You know, when I first started to cook for other people, I made the food way too hot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the American, the standard American palate is not really built for like super spicy. Over the years, I've managed to strike a nice balance. I remember the first time I had friends over for a dinner party, one girl just almost passed out. It was too hot.
that's not
recommended for having someone over. But you know, I've made the food, you know, thousands of times now, so you know, I'm able to strike the balance. And you know, one good thing, when I did the cookbook, I actually went to Sri Lanka for a year, and I lived there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was cooking every day. I was going to the market, buying fresh stuff, cooking every day. And then I have a huge family there, aunts and uncles and cousins. So I would cook a few dishes and take it to one of my aunt's houses for lunch. And they would give me the critique. And that was basically my cooking school. You know, I'm not a chef. I'm a home cook. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, also I cook everything. I like to cook any type of food, you know, like paella is like my specialty now.
I love paella.
Yeah, I love saffron. That's another great spice. One of the most expensive. I think it's the most expensive spice. But it's you just
definitely
use like a little bit.
Somebody to buy that for your birthday present.
Exactly.
I need saffron. Yeah.
Because the real saffron. I think the Persian saffron is the best. And it's it's really expensive.
Is that used a lot in Sri Lankan cooking?
We use it, not a lot, but like in dishes like biryani, which is like a Muslim dish, you know, the rice and the meat together, cooked together, we use it. And also in a couple desserts.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. Yellowish colored desserts.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Cool. So I know that like Americans like are just behind palate wise in general, with heat tolerance. But what do you think about people who just refuse? They're just, I can't. No, hands off. I'm not going to even try to eat spicy foods.
Well,
I feel like there's always going to be somebody at the table like that. It's just,
right. You know, I think that's just a shame, because when it comes to food, you should be adventurous, because you're not going to know if you like something unless you try it, right? That's why I call myself a gastronaut. I'll try anything once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
you might pass out.
Who knows? Yeah. But, you know, I've eaten some weird stuff in other countries that I wouldn't normally eat. And, you know, sometimes I've had that food again.
Because,
you know, you just never know. You never know some of the combinations, too. Like, someone in Baltimore started a smoothie place, and one of their flavors was strawberry basil. And you wouldn't think that would be a good combination, but it's amazing. You know?
I think it's great. I think I actually have a strawberry smoothie basil.
Strawberry basil. Yeah, I think it's gotten more popular now.
I guess
like
so.
But
yeah, basil has
but
gotten
you wouldn't,
more popular.
But you wouldn't think normally.
I know. You have to just wing it and come up and see how it goes. Yeah. So I think it's more a personality thing then.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly. You got to be adventurous when it comes to food, you know.
It's a good sign of a person's character, what they will eat.
Right.
You are, because, yeah.
You are what you eat, right?
You are what you eat. So, because you picked a song today, we're just going to throw that on the record player. What is it?
This is a song. I'm also a musician. This is a song for my new album.
Awesome.
You'd like to take it into your own hands. But when you do that, you might as well be living in a jungle.
I picked up a girl. If she hadn't gotten in my way, I wouldn't have stopped. She must be connected with something big.
In. I'm Kathy Airway, your host, and this is Heritage Radio Network. Today, we're hanging out with Skiz Fernando. He's the author of Rice and Curry, Sri Lankan Home Cooking. He has a Rice and Curry blog and a YouTube channel all about Pan-Asian, all sorts of recipes. And I'm learning, you know, about Sri Lankan food because I just don't know too much. And I mean, how does one learn? You were just saying that there's not too many restaurants in.
Yeah, unfortunately, because anyone who I introduce Sri Lankan food to loves it, and they and people are like, this is not like Indian food, even though the basic thing is a curry. You know, it's like very different. Our curry powder uses about 13 different ingredients, and they're all individually roasted before they're ground together, and it's got a very unique flavor compared to other curry powders I've had.
It does, actually. I actually have a jar of the roasted curry, Sri Lankan curry powder that Skiz is, he makes and sells on his online Foodsy boutique and on through the curry, Rice and Curry site. It's amazing. It's your original spice mix, but it's from traditional Sri Lankan tradition.
Yeah, basically, I got the recipe from my aunt's cook,
mm-hmm.
who has been with the family for like 45 years,
mm-hmm.
and she taught me how to make this curry powder.
All right.
Her name is Leela.
Okay.
And actually, I did the Anthony Bourdain show, No Reservations.
Yeah.
I took him to Sri Lanka.
Yeah, cool.
And I took the last meal of the show, I took him to her house. She lives out in she's retired now. She lives out in the jungle in this little village. And she cooked a traditional meal for him outside in clay pots.
I feel like I've seen this. Maybe.
Yeah, you've probably seen reruns. It's No Reservations Sri Lanka, but he said that was his favorite meal in Sri Lanka.
And
it was like, she's an amazing cook, so.
That is really cool.
I got to give her a lot of props for the curry powder. even though it's called Skiz's original, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah. No, but it's your family.
But I do I make the curry powder myself in small batches. There's a restaurant in Baltimore. I just like rent out time in their kitchen, mm-hmm. and just bring all my stuff in there for a day,
right,
make a few batches, you know, in small batches. I make the roasted, I make the raw, and then I sell it through these two gourmet sites, Foodsy.com and Foodoro.com,
which are
both based in San Francisco. And just, you know, I'm not advertising this stuff at all, but I manage to sell like two or three bottles a week.
Cool.
Just mail order, so. When I really start to get into it and like get it out, you know, to bigger places,
mm-hmm.
I think I could have some success
cool.
with it. So
that sounds great, because there's not a lot of places to get a real authentic Sri Lankan curry, and it's so different from most curry blends.
You know, it takes a little trouble because, you know, you're dealing with 13 different spices.
Is it a secret mix?
No.
Is it all, like Colonel Sanders? No,
it's all...
Okay.
It's, It's all,
I want to know.
It's all on the ingredients, but you don't know the proportions. That's the secret. The proportions of what to use.
Yeah. Roasted. Okay.
For example, like a lot of Caribbean curry powder, like Jamaican, Trinidadian, they use a lot of turmeric. Mm-hmm. So it's like really yellow in color. And turmeric has kind of a medicinal taste, so you kind of, that kind of prevails.
A little bitter, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sri Lankan curry powder, I would say the main ingredient is coriander and cumin.
Yeah,
and then, you know, the curry leaves add a special thing. I also use raw rice.
Oh.
I toast it and I ground it, and that adds earthy. It adds like a nutty flavor, and also it helps thicken the curry.
Cool.
Yeah. And there's actually no cayenne pepper in the curry powder spice. Yeah, you put that in separately.
Okay.
So it's
adjust
like
adjust to your own
exactly.
Level.
So you know, you could buy a bottle of my curry powder, and then you could make the curry as hot as you want, with depending on how much cayenne you're going to use.
Wow. And so, what are the different purposes for having the roasted spice blend and then the raw?
Okay, the roasted is usually used for meat and fish curries, and the raw we use with vegetables.
Better. I see. Not to overpower those vegetables.
Exactly.
Too much.
The raw is just coriander, cumin, and fennel.
Okay.
And it's not roasted. It's just you just take those seeds, ground them up, and you know.
Sounds good. And any other blends you think you're good? Because you know you see like so many different blends, but.
Yeah. Then there's the Jaffna curry powder, which people in the north of the island use. That they actually put a lot of chilies in that.
Okay.
So I don't make that. And then, you know, there are also different various combinations. Special fish dishes use certain ingredients. You know, there's a fruit called the gorica in Sri Lanka that you can't get here, and it's an orange fruit. When you dry it out, it becomes like this black kidney shaped thing, and that adds a real tartness to this fish curry. There's actually a dish called fish ambalthiol in the book, and it's also I also did a Pan Asian episode of it, and you grind this spice up, and it adds a real tangy flavor to the curry.
That sounds, I can imagine that for some reason. That sounds really, really different. Oh, duck curry with arak?
Arak, yeah, that's the popular liquor in Sri Lanka. It's a coconut-based liquor. Mm. And that dish is really rich, as you can imagine, with the duck and the liquor. And that's eaten on special occasions.
Shark curry. Oh, beetroot curry.
See, there's a ton of vegetable stuff in there.
Yeah, and I'm interested in like the condiments and salads and veggie sides, mushroom curry.
Yeah, we use a lot of fresh coconut and stuff, and one of the main condiments is called pol sambal. Pol is coconut, and sambal, you've probably heard that word before.
Yeah, what is that?
In Indonesia, they have that too. It's basically like a little condiment of, we use the... We scrape the coconut, you know, the fresh white meat of the coconut, and then we add some chilies, some onion, salt, and lime, and then just grind that all together.
Like a paste or something? Or?
Yeah, it's not quite a paste. It's kind of, because it's fluffy with the coconut in there.
Yeah.
But that's eaten with rice and dal and stuff like that. That's almost like ketchup in Sri Lanka.
Oh. Where would I get these coconuts? And do you ever find like it's a struggle to get all the right ingredients? Well, you just had that issue with the curry leaves. So
now America is a really pretty good place to get all these exotic ingredients now, you know, because it's like I think nowadays people are more into food. You know, they're more conscious about what they're eating, and people are cooking more at home.
Right.
So I think because there's demand now, there's a supply of all this stuff. So you can get good fresh coconuts anywhere, pretty much.
That's true.
And also, you know, just like the nature of immigration, you have pockets of people from all over the place in the weirdest places. You know, like I go to Europe a lot for my music, and I'll be in a small town in Germany and find like an Indian store where I can find all the spices, you know? So it's like
when, how?
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole, basically when you look back in history, the whole spice trade was so tied to colonialism and everything. So that's, you know, because spices were like gold back then, and mm-hmm. it was only like the rich people who could afford to use them. You know, now thankfully all of us can use these spices.
In the colder parts of the world that didn't have the spices native to them.
Exactly. And you know, one interesting thing I found out when I was doing my cookbook was that the chili is actually from South America, from the Amazon basin. Mm-hmm. That's where it originated. And it was the Portuguese who brought the chili to the East.
Crazy,
to
right?
India and Sri Lanka. And this was like
so recently.
15th century. Yeah. So it's like, what was our food like before that? We only had black pepper. That was the only hot stuff.
So. It sounds like they became intoxicated by it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then you go to like Brazil and people don't use the chili hardly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like people don't eat very spicy food down there.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh. But it's readily available or it
you can grow it. That's anywhere. Like I said, that's where it originated from. But it seems like the one culture that really uses it a lot are the Mexicans. You know, they have all different types of chilies and they've, you know.
Right. So do you have any, like, so when you do the Pan Asian videos, do mm-hmm. you like to include, a friend of mine described this as like the spice equator, like the hot climate, you know,
right.
zone, where it's like the hottest places in the world are usually, they usually have the most flavorful, hottest, spiciest.
It's true. It's true. So for me, Pan Asian means a lot of things. Like I just, the last Pan Asian episode was curry duck, which is from Trinidad.
Mm.
And, you know, there was a lot of East Indian immigrants to Trinidad.
Okay.
And they brought a lot of their spices and their cooking techniques. I've also done a Pan Asian on a Iranian dish, potato koresh. And you know, the Persians have a lot to do with the spice trade, and they were, because they were right in the middle of it.
Okay.
You know, they're right between Europe and Asia. So,
yeah.
You know, to me, it's really, it's like the spice diaspora. You know, there's like people. The world today is just so mixed, and it's like everyone's taking their own stuff with them to where they go. So it's, you know, it's amazing. It's like it's really, you can get, I think today you can get really good food wherever you go
mm-hmm.
in the world, you know, because the
people demand. Well, thank you for bringing the like really good spice and authentic flavors of Sri Lanka to us here, because you're really paving the way, and I can't wait.
And for all of those in New York, if you want to have really good spicy food, Sri Lankan food, I recommend you go out to Staten Island. Just take the ferry across, and about 3 blocks from the harbor, you're going to stumble into about 5 different Sri Lankan joints.
Nice.
Any one of them are good.
Or check out Rice and Curry and make your own at home.
There you go.
One question, though. What if a person is having like a spice emergency and they're about to pass out? What do you do?
Okay, There's a lot of different cures. I've been told milk.
Okay.
But I've never had that problem. Just take it slow. You build up a tolerance to it. You know, I'm at a point where I can just eat like raw chili straight and it doesn't do anything to me. So it's kind of sad.
Can you taste other stuff?
Yeah, I can, but like I can't taste the hot.
Okay.
I think there must be something with my tongue.
You can separate it from the others. That's good. That's good.
And the cookbook, if I can mention, is available on blurb.com.
www.blurb.com. All right, cool.
Yeah.
And on the YouTube, do I check out just Pan Asia with Skiz?
Yeah, just go Pan Asian. My channel is called The Illest.
Okay.
T-H-E-I-L-L-S-T.
Right on. Thank you, Skiz.
Thanks for having me, Kathy.
It's a pleasure. All right. We'll see you next week. I'd like to thank Jack and Nat in the controller booth and Whole Foods Market. And I guess that's about it. See you next week. Anymore.